I think what I've learned is that, wow, you can do a lot in 4 or 5 years. If you set some goals for yourself, if they're just like, here's the sort of direction I'm going, here's a vision I want to start working toward, here's where I roughly think I'd like to be and some elements I'd like to include. And I think that I'm really looking forward to the process. Change is fun. And I love setting goals. And like I said, this 5 years, I think, is going to be one of the biggest shifts in my life because everything is changing so much. You're listening to the Mother of Reinvention Show, a weekly podcast about midlife motherhood, careers, health, relationships, and more. I'm Megan Francis, a 40-something mom of 5 kids ages teen to young adult. Listen each Thursday as I bring you an interview with an inspiring mother of reinvention, plus some of my thoughts about wellness, self-care, relationships and divorce, big kid parenting, and more. It's all at motherofreinventionshow.com. Keep listening for another episode of the Mother of Reinvention Show. It's what's next for midlife moms. Okay, so yes, that was me you heard at the top of the episode, and usually I reserve that spot for guests. So what's going on? Well, this episode is special in several ways. First of all, it's the last episode of season 3 of the Mother of Reinvention Show. Second, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, I turned 45 yesterday, so happy birthday to me. It feels pretty momentous, and that fact led me to do some thinking about how the numbers in my life are lining up right now. So here are some things I find interesting. First of all, like I mentioned, I'm 45 now, and that feels like really seriously midlife. Second, my middle child heads off to college in the fall, which means for the first time ever, more of my kids have grown and flown than not. And get this, in 5 years, not only will I be 50, but I will have been a mom for 30 years. And my youngest, Clara, will have graduated high school, which means I'll be looking at an empty nest after 30 years. It all feels really big, and it inspired me to do something different with season 4 of the podcast, which you're going to find out more about soon. And we're doing something different with this episode, too. In celebration of my 45th birthday, I am joined by my friend Sarah Powers, who is also my business partner and co-host of the Mom Hour podcast, which we've been hosting together now for over 7 years. But instead of me interviewing Sarah, she interviewed me. Sarah's just a couple of years younger than me, so she has a lot of questions about how I'm experiencing my 40s, how I feel about turning 45, and what I'm looking forward to next. Sarah and I had so much fun chatting about being a midlife mom and how things are changing around my house as more kids exit and I start looking toward a very different kind of adult life from the one I've known for decades now. Stick around to hear our chat, but first I want to remind you that if you haven't yet, now would be a great time to sign up for my email list because I have a lot of stuff coming up that you're not going to want to miss, including a private community that I'm going to be launching sometime this fall, and of course, season 4, which will come out in late September. Go to the show notes for episode 39 at motherofreinventionshow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, and you'll find a link to sign up for the email list, plus a link to a survey about the community where you can tell me what you'd like to see there. Again, look for the show notes for episode 39 to sign up for that email list so you don't miss anything. Okay, now on to my conversation with Sarah Powers, my co-host at the Mom Hour podcast. Hey, Sarah, thank you for being on this show.
I mean, where are we? Are we in a different, like virtual space? Like it's different.
It is different. And I just have to share that right now, when we do the Mom Hour, Sarah is always the recording mistress, like the mistress of the files. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I record my own podcast, which is usually is me recording guests, I'm the mistress of the files. But right now, Sarah is, because we just don't know how to break up this dynamic.
No.
Really?
I mean, it's like, we're both very at home right now and also in like a completely different space, like someone has like put on like fun mirrors on the wall or something.
Exactly. Well, I'm really looking forward to this one because I think, you know, you're just a couple years behind me, age-wise, 2.5 years younger than me, a little further behind with parenting, like the ages of your kids, but not much, right?
Like 4 years between our youngest. You got started well before me, but in terms, if we're talking about like empty nest stuff, I think it's 4 or 5 years behind you. Yeah.
But we'll be pretty close in age when we're both empty nesters. Yeah. And so you'll be, by the time you're my age, which is, as of this episode coming out, 45. You will be, you know, in a very similar place. So you have some questions for me. This is purposely different because we just want to talk about, I want to make this a little more personal, I guess, and talk a little bit more about myself and kind of where the show is going to be going in season four. So I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you take it away.
I love it. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to put you on the hot seat. Well, let's talk about reinvention, because this is Mother of Reinvention, and you are someone who has reinvented your life many times over the years and written about it and been really, you know, honest and public about what that reinvention has looked like. So how does this time feel different?
You know, I think I coined the phrase Mother of Reinvention because I thought it was so darn clever, probably like 7 years ago. I feel like it almost grew up alongside podcasting with me and kind of dabbled in how that would look. And at the time, of course, I was in my mid-30s and I was thinking of the fact that like I had reinvented my career several times. We'd moved a lot. Like there was all of these things that had happened throughout my life where my life had been kind of upended and reinvented. But what I realized is that in almost all of those cases, there was some external thing that sort of pushed me into a reinvention. Like we moved for my spouse's job, or I had another baby, or everything about the industry I was working in started to change. So I pivoted, or I got a divorce. Like there were all these things that were happening like to me.
Yeah.
And then I would react and reinvent and pivot. And that's great. And I think it made me very adaptable. But now I'm really looking forward to this point of my life where I just get to decide. And within, there's always some external factors, right? Like it would be very naive for me to say, nothing is going to happen to me. I'm just going to be able to.
I'm driving this boat now.
Exactly. And I'm just going to manifest whatever I want. And the minute you start thinking that way, the universe has a way of kind of putting you in your place, right? But there is more of a personal choice. I'm not married right now. I'm partnered, but not married. I don't live with my partner. My kids are on their way out. Like they're leaving me and like very quickly now starting to speed up the, how they're pulling away and becoming more independent. And I'm really at a point where it's like, wow, I get to kind of choose what's next. And that does feel different.
I love that. And it feels very exciting. Well, you mentioned in the intro that this is like the math and the numbers line up in a really cool way right now this summer. So you're looking ahead in 5 years, you'll be 50. You're 45 this week, which is like a really cool kind of biological age milestone. But then you're also thinking about youngest kids being done living at home at that same time 5 years from now. So you kind of have this like your biological age lining up with what I would call more of a parenting milestone. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about listeners who, for whom that those two things would not line up in the same way they are lining up for you. Because if you started your family in your late 30s, for example, at 50, you're still going to have plenty of kids at home, depending on how many you have and all of that. So I guess the question here is it's kismet that they line up for you, but does one of those things feel more significant than the other? So one being kind of empty nest and the other being this truly midlife age milestone. Does it feel like one is sort of a planet with a lesser moon circling or do they really, are they really of equal significance in your mind right now?
I would actually say that if it wasn't for the fact that my kids would be out of the house by the time, well, I think out of the house. I mean, that's also, I'm also putting that in giant air quotes because what does it even mean for an 18-year-old to leave home?
Right.
They're probably coming back, right? But it's just a different relationship at that point. If that wasn't the fact for me, I don't think 50 would mean much at all.
Okay.
Like to me, the age feels like a cool half century number. It's significant. It's neat. I'll be, you know, halfway to 100 at that point. But if it weren't for all those other factors lining up,
right,
I'm not sure I would think much of it, to be honest. I mean, my sister is turning 55 next week. She's 10 years older than me, but she still has a 16-year-old at home. Mm-hmm. I think he maybe just turned 17. But, you know, so she's 10 years older than me, but like still a couple of years sort of behind where I am. And she's very youthful. I don't think of her as being a decade older than me or someone who's like in her 50s. So I think that the physical age doesn't matter as much. Now, I will say that when I had my last baby and knew that that would be my last baby, I remember doing the math several times just to make sure I was right. It was like, okay, so she's going to graduate when I'm 49. Wow. Okay. Wow. 49. And then I'll turn 50 and then she'll be like probably going off to college or doing something like that that fall. And that felt significant. So I sort of had that in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not sure the number would mean much.
Right. Yeah. I think that makes sense. Have you seen 50th celebrations among your friends, peers, online associates, et cetera, and like felt like there's something about 50? Can you put a like a adjective around the 50 milestone, especially for women, as you've observed it? Because we've been through a lot of 40ths, like in my peer group and yours. Do you feel like you have a sense for how people are celebrating or embracing 50? I know this is like asking you to speak for others, not even
yourself. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. I think that I'm seeing less people have a lot of angst about turning 50 than they did about turning 40.
Interesting.
I think that what I'm seeing is people more settling in to the positives. Like they already kind of got over the feeling of being old, you know, like 40 was that. And then they kind of settled into the idea that, okay, now I'm in midlife. What does that mean for me? And like, wow, my 50s are going to be great. So I'm actually seeing women really enjoy their 50s, which makes me look forward to it. I will say that if you'd asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have been like, 50 feels really old to me. And now that I'm 5 years away, I'm like, okay, it's really not that old. And I've really started to pay very close attention to other people in my sort of sphere and in the orbit around me who are well into their 50s and really realizing how healthy and youthful and honestly gorgeous they still are. And it's like, oh, okay. So it really doesn't mean much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I pay attention when, especially because we have a lot of mutual friends on social media who are writers and creators. And when someone is reflecting on turning 50, my ears perk up for whatever reason. And I agree. There's something that feels very inspiring is a corny word, but it feels like anecdotally people are welcoming this milestone.
Yeah. And it's like the 40s are midlife adolescence or something. Like you're awkward about it. You're still figuring it out. And then 50 is when you're like a high school senior. Yeah. Like you're really in it now. And, you know, or maybe like, I don't know, that's probably a terrible analogy because there's probably women who are 60 who are like, no, I'm just starting to figure it out now. And I guess it's all perspective. When I'm that much closer to 60, I'm going to look at that and say, oh, that's actually not that old. And I'll be there soon. And and this is how it's going to feel. But right now, 50 feels like that next, like really, like that milestone that's coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So I want to talk about this, the gradual emptying of your nest and knowing that they're not actually gone for good, as you established. But you have 5 kids. 2 have graduated now quite a while ago, and the 3rd is off to college any minute now. So you're about to have fewer kids at home than out in the world. And that is a cool milestone. But actually what I'm thinking about is the next 5 years, this brood is sort of like shrinking. It's like a reverse animation of when you were adding to your family 30 years ago, right? 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So like you went from 1 baby to 2 and then 3 and 4 and then 5, and then they were 5, and then you went to 4 and 3, and now 2, and you will go down to 1 at some point. And I wonder if you've thought about the parenting dynamics or the parenting relationship dynamics of having a smaller crew at home. Like when moms are adding to their family, they're full of questions like, you know, do I have enough space? Do I need a different car? Will I have enough love to go around? Like, how will I meet everyone's needs? And you're actually like, in a way, doing that in reverse. And I wonder if it's brought up thoughts about the relationships you have with your growing kids, about what it will feel like to have 1 kid at home. Like, have you thought about that? I know you're about to have 2. So open for anywhere you want to jump in on this.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in the past 6 months to a year, parenting has drastically changed for me. It's not one thing. It's like all of the things. So we moved. I live closer to my boyfriend. The boyfriend and I are more serious. We've got our own stuff going on. So that's like one part, right? That's like it really has nothing to do with my relationship with my kids, but it all impacts because now mom seriously has another life that is like separate from, but also kind of like combining with the life that we all have together. I used to keep it very separate, but also pretty limited to the times that I wasn't with them. Now it's much more fluid. Like I live like a quarter of a mile from Eric, and I'm back and forth all the time. He's at the house. Like, it's just different. So that's starting to change the dynamics a little bit. There's a huge difference between having teenagers and even young adults in the house when you still have a young child, like when Clara was 10 or 11. Yeah. Very different. I don't have any little kids at home anymore. Right. I don't even have any kids who aren't teenagers anymore. And I'm noticing that they're starting to all, like, it used to be that the teenagers would kind of, I'm not going to say gang up on me. That's not accurate, but like they had their own thing going on. And I had my thing going on with the youngest.
Yeah.
Sometimes the youngest too. Now they all have their own thing going on, and I'm just kind of there like, hey, do you guys want to like hang out with me?
Need snacks, and, anyone?
Yeah, snacks. Can I do anything for you? I sometimes will find myself sitting there like at dinner, just silently watching them banter over each other. And I don't even try to enter the conversation as much because it's not my conversation anymore. And that it used to be like kind of like that with the older ones, but then there was still the little ones that I was trying to get in, like, hey guys, let's include Clara and Owen in this conversation and asking them questions. But now they're just equally part of it and they're all working out their dynamics. And I'm just sitting back like, whoa. So that's very different. And I would say Owen and Clara, who are 16 and 13, almost make sport now of being kind of bored with me at all times, like just a little cooler than me. It's all in a very like well-intentioned, good-natured way. But I have to work a little bit not to let it bother me a little, because I'm like, who thinks I'm cool? Nobody. The answer is nobody thinks I'm cool anymore. So yes, so that's kind of the dynamics, like the interpersonal dynamics. As far as like the other stuff, it is very strange to watch your family shrink like before your very eyes. And it's picking up speed now because Will is the third. And once he's out, even though Jacob and Isaac kind of come back and Isaac's currently living with us, it's not the same. He's got his own grown up life. I'm going to have two minors under my roof and then pretty soon I'll have one. And I just, it's really hard to imagine what that will be like. I will say I've kind of seen it play out with Eric. He is sending his youngest off to college, but for the last year or so, it's just been her at home with him. And I've just seen how like kind of quiet it is. And a little like plaintive, like, you know, hey, he's texting her, hey, do you want to hang out tonight? And, you know, it's like watching it kind of dwindle. And then even like the attention start to dwindle is like, I know that's going to be me. Yeah. So, and by attention, I mean the attention that the child has for the parent, like amount of time they can give you. Yeah.
And also like the amount of time demanded of your caregiving. And as an Enneagram 2 and a like someone who gets a lot of identity and value out of serving in that way. I mean,
what do I do for you?
Do I do? Like there's so few of you now. I so relate to what you're talking about. I mean, well, so mine are 14, 12, and 9 right now, but the 9 is so little compared to the other two. My 12 is rapidly like looping up into that. In fact, I even refer to him as a teenager, and he's not. He just turned 12, but he looks and sounds and acts much more like a teenager. So all of a sudden, it's so obvious how little the little is. Yeah. And so I can imagine, as you're talking and describing, I can't imagine, and I can't imagine what that would be like to then not have that relationship anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you were the same with Clara and she was also your only girl. Like you almost cling a little tighter to the littlest who needs you a little bit longer. And, you know, they'll be in therapy for that someday.
And this year I started to find myself, and this was kind of a first for me. I started to find myself like looking for excuses to drive them places, just to spend time in the car talking and like feel like I know what's going on. And when I had a bunch of little kids in the house, it was like, oh, who has time for that? Like, and getting them in the car is going to be, not do it. Right.
Exactly,
and it was like, they're all going to be loud and obnoxious and they're going to fight. And now I'm just like, Owen, do you need to go somewhere? I'll take you. You have an orthodontist appointment. Great. And he's going to have his license very soon. And I'm like, oh, I mean, but I'll still drive you places. Right. So, yeah. Okay. So Sarah, I am loving these questions so far. We need to take a quick break, but when we get back, I know we're going to talk kind of about like the 40s and being 45 and beyond that. So we will be right back. As we are wrapping up season 3 of Mother of Reinvention, I want to thank this season's sponsor, Vionic. Vionic makes footwear of all kinds for women who want style but need comfort, and I definitely fit that description. So this season, you've heard me talk about the Clarita wedges and the Malibu slip-ons, but there are so many styles to choose from, and I'm really looking forward to their fall line of boots because they are my favorites. All Vionic shoes feature VioMotion technology, Vionic's patented podiatrist-developed footbed that's built into every style they make. It delivers three-zone comfort with a deep heel cup for stability, ball of foot cushioning, and ultimate arch support for uplifting overall foot contact. And with Vionic's 30-day wear test, there's no reason not to try them out. You can return your Vionic's for a full refund within 30 days if you're not satisfied for any reason, even if you've worn them outside. I'm going to get you free shipping to try Vionic's for yourself. Go to vionicshoes.com and use promo code MORE, that's M-O-R. Again, that's vionicshoes.com and use the code MORE, M-O-R, for free shipping. Thanks again to Vionic for partnering with Mother of Reinvention and making my feet comfy and cute. Okay, back to my conversation with Sarah Powers. Okay, Sarah, so I am loving being in the hot seat and having you ask me all the questions. So what you got for me next?
I mean, you're ready for me to take over again, basically, is what you're saying, right?
Please do.
Okay, well, let's just talk about midlife in general, and that is what Mother of Reinvention is about. I am liking my 40s so far, and you are celebrating 45, and I bet you have a lot of listeners who are coming up on 40 or like thinking about the 40s. So let's just talk about being in our 40s a little bit. What do you think is the best thing so far about this decade for you?
So I was thinking about this recently because I think that 40s scare people sometimes. Some people are looking forward to them, but there's also something about being in your 40s that feels very like real. Okay, like now this is it. We're on the other side, you know. The best thing I think I've noticed is that I don't obsess about my age or my age relative to other people nearly as much as I used to. In my 30s, that was a real thing. I did a lot of comparing. I did a lot of comparing against older women to see if I looked as good as they did relative to their age and relative to my age, or to see if like I would be able to accomplish as much as they had by that point. Uh-huh. I did a lot of comparing with younger women to see like kind of where I was in society's acceptance of me. I know it sounds really weird, but I'd watch a television show and I think, oh, is that woman my age? If she's my age, that means somebody would still put me on a TV show. I know that doesn't make any sense, yeah, but like yeah. I'm still relevant to someone. Like I'm still a demographic somebody cares about and this like pretty young woman might be about my age. And I did a lot of that in my like early to late 30s, I would say. And now I don't do it at all. And the time has gone by so quickly. The years are going by so fast. And all I'm really thinking about is like living my best life, kind yeah. of. It's just, it's a really weird thing that I didn't see coming and I didn't try to make it happen. It just happened. And it's hard to say whether, what is it, a combination of just getting older, life experience, maybe because now a lot of the relationship drama that I had in my 30s, my divorce, like all of that has settled down and now I can really look forward. I don't know. Like there's so many things that have happened that it's hard to say which one kind of led me there, but I think it's probably all of it, right?
Yeah.
And the pressure feels like it's off. Another thing that I think has been great is that I truly do feel like my brain has slowed down a little bit and like I can relax a little bit better. And I'm still not great at living in the moment. I'm not, but, which might surprise you. It yeah. might feel like I'm the kind of like loosey-goosey person who's great at that. I'm really not, unless I'm really enjoying myself, which is why I think a lot of people who are kind of like me can be very pleasure-seeking. It's because that's the thing that allows me to like just be. Mm-hmm. But if I start to think too much about work, I get all wrapped up in that or my next move or like what's the thing I'm going to be right. doing to like, you know, position me in such a way for whatever my next goal is. And I think I've started to just learn patience and slowing down and saying, oh, it doesn't have to happen soon. It's okay if this takes me 5 years to actually decide I'm going to take action on this idea. And I might never. And that's okay, too. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about realizing some options are just going to come off the table because there's no way to get to them all. And that's all right. Like mm-hmm. truly being okay with the fact that I will not live every life there is to live.
Yeah.
I used to do this weird thing, Sarah, when I would fly out of a place. Like, say I had like a layover in some town that I would never travel to on purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm just in a random layover. And then as the plane is taking off out of that place, I would look down out the window and think, I wonder if this is the last time I'll ever see this place. Mm-hmm. Because it's very possible. That could any place you go, it could be the last time you'll see that place. Not because you never intend to go there even. Maybe life just turns out taking you in a different direction and you never go back to that place. And I would feel something like panic about the idea that there might be an experience left on the table.
Yeah.
Now I just kind of shrug my shoulders and go, eh.
Yeah.
Like, the world's full of places. I'm not going to get to most of them. That's okay. Yeah. Like, I don't have the same hangups about it anymore. And I think that's been great too.
I think that's so fascinating. I'll share one thing that I am noticing about not just being in my 40s, but being connected to and friends with other women in their 40s is I feel a lot of compassion for like messy life situations. And I don't know if that means I didn't have as much empathy and compassion or that I was just more self-oriented when I was younger or a little more naive, but I'm able to really like recognize and hold space for and appreciate how people are going through all different kinds of stuff and they're navigating it not perfectly, but beautifully in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's something about being in your 40s where you can almost see it in another woman's face or behind her eyes that like the you know what is going down and she's making her way through something really tricky and everybody is. So I have appreciated that. And it's not even something that's always spoken out loud, but just like a witnessing of other people navigating really tricky midlife stuff and showing up anyway. And that's like all anybody can do. So
I love that. And I actually, the last episode, I talked to my sister and we were talking about befriending. And the episode is about losing your mom and like not having a mom at midlife.
I need to listen to that. Yeah.
So we were talking about having older women in your life as mentors and how sometimes you can shy away from looking maybe a decade, like too far ahead. You don't want to be like, you know, at my age, I'm not thinking about women in their 60s and thinking they should be my friends because it feels like they're in such a different time of life that I don't want to touch yet. Like I'm not ready for that yet. And she said that, you know, she was just giving the advice to like really open up your horizons around that. And that part of the thing that she finds so much value in is meeting someone who's say in their 70s and still doesn't have it all together and realizing that that's life. Like none of us will ever have it all together. And 50 is not going to do it for you. 60 is not going to do it for you. You will end your life not having seen all the places, done all the things or gotten it all together.
Yeah.
And there is beauty in that because it means it's okay for any of us to not have it all together at any point.
Yes.
It's our fate.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Well, what's something that has surprised you about being in your 40s?
I guess that I don't really feel much different physically. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of the jokey joke thing, like, oh, I got out of bed and sprained my back or whatever. And I joke about those things too. We were talking about, I got excited earlier because my chickens finally laid some eggs and then my tailbone hurt. And we were laughing. Sarah was like, well, maybe you dance too hard when your chickens laid eggs and threw out your tailbone. And, you know, maybe, but I don't experience it as creaks and snaps. I don't experience being in this body as being in a deteriorating body, even though that is the reality of aging, no matter how old you are.
I mean, we're literally one day closer to the end every single day. Right. Yeah,
exactly. So things are deteriorating, but things are also regenerating. And there's ways I'm getting stronger, more flexible, learning new skills. Like there's things, it's not like a slow slide to the end. There's still growth happening, mental growth and physical. And that's probably been the most surprising.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you're only 45. You're not through this decade yet. So what is something you're really looking forward to in like the back half of this decade?
So because I now, you know, you and I have been doing some serious business planning on the Mom Hour side for about 4 to 5 years. I would say we started it in earnest about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Now we're like kind of. Yeah. Okay.
Summer 2018 was a transformative summer. And that is officially 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so through that, I think what I've learned is that, wow, you can do a lot in 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like if you set some goals for yourself, they don't even have to be like concrete. I know exactly what I want and exactly how I'm going to get them it kind of goals. But if they're just like, here's the sort of direction I'm going, here's a vision I want to start working toward, here's where I roughly think I'd like to be and some elements I'd like to include and some things I'd like to do less of and all that. If you do that and you're intentional about it, you can make, first of all, you can make a lot of headway in 1 year, but you can make a lot of headway in 4 years and in five, you know, even more than that. And I think that I'm really looking forward to the process. Mm-hmm. Change is fun. And I love setting goals. And like I said, like this is going to be a very big, this 5 years, I think is going to be one of the biggest shifts in my life because mm-hmm. everything is changing so much. It's not just age. It's not just kids getting older, but like all of the things happening at the same time. And I think that things are going to move fast and I'm really excited just to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excited for you. Yeah. I was just like along for that vision casting right there. So I love
it. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like the 5 year plan or 5 year line of sight. What's next for the more immediate? Like, what are you excited about this fall? What's happening with Mother of Reinvention? Like, bring us back a little closer to a time horizon.
Yeah. Well, I am in that process where I'm figuring out like what that 5 year plan is going to kind of look like, together with Eric. And, you know, I think we're together for the long haul. So we're starting to make some plans and I just teasers.
Yeah.
It's going to involve a relocation at some point. It's involving us learning some new skills. It's us learning like some things that we don't know how to do right now and that we think would be great. It involves me figuring out like, what kind of house do I want to live in 5 years? What kind of neighborhood or town or physical surroundings do I want to have around me? What do I want to be doing for work? Like, how do I want to be spending my time? And I can't share with you right now what that exactly looks like, but I'm so looking forward to diving in. And so that is a perfect segue, Sarah, thank you very much, into the next season of Mother of Reinvention. So like I mentioned in the intro, this is the last episode of season 3. And for the last 3 seasons, I've followed roughly the same format, kind of like an interview with an interesting expert or just someone I thought would be a great conversationalist. And in season 4, I'm really going to shake things up. It's going to be a lot more narrative. It's going to be a lot more personal. It's really going to be a lot more about me, which I hope doesn't sound self-serving because actually what I think it's going to be is like me figuring some of this stuff out and taking everyone along for the ride. And then whatever I'm learning about working through, okay, say I want to have like a farm in the middle of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. What do I have to do to make that happen? Like logistically, what do I have to do to make that happen? Let's say I have a goal to be doing something in yoga, you know, physically and mentally and in my mind and emotions, what do I have to start thinking about to move in that direction? So there's just a lot of, I feel like there's some decision making and some actionable things I can start doing now. And the 40s are, you know, it's really a time to set yourself up for your 50s and beyond because it's not going to get any easier for me than it will be right now to start making those things happen.
Yeah.
And so season 4 will be back out end of September and we're going to be diving into a lot of that stuff. So keep your eyes on your podcast feed and you'll see more very soon.
That is really exciting. I'm very excited for you. I can't wait to listen. It reminds me just like it feels like you returning to your storytelling roots and it reminded me of like your origin story of starting like a mom blog like 15 years ago. Like that ability to work through and problem solve and self-reflect and do that with an audience who trusts you and loves you and can follow along, but not in a self oriented way at all, but in a, like, let's figure this out together. And I think it's so cool that that's been a through line of your like content career, but yet this format is new and exciting. So.
Yeah. And I think too, that writing And also community building are two things that I have missed. And I don't mean social media community building. I do believe that our Instagrams and those things are forms of community, but I'm talking about being more in true community with people. Mm. That's also part of it. That is to be determined, to be just explored, TBD and TBE. So please tune in. But Sarah, this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on here and like grilling me a little bit. Those were fun questions to answer. And I'm looking forward to what's next with you and I and our business too.
Well, thank you for having me. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and this season of the Mother of Reinvention show. We'll be back in late September with a brand new season of episodes where I will really be diving into the midlife experience, navigating my health and wellness, what it means to be a mom when your kids aren't so little anymore, looking forward to empty nest life and more. The new season will start sooner than you think, so be sure to subscribe to this podcast in your app and sign up for my email newsletter so you stay in the know about what's coming up next. Just look for the link in the show notes for this episode to sign up. Okay, I will talk to you soon.